morning. Give you a second to get there. Luke chapter 8, share a little story with you. Find out who this was. We don't know for sure, but I got here this morning, Sherry and I pulled in. There was a car sitting out in front of the church. Didn't recognize the car. And a young guy in there, he got out of the car. When he saw me come running down here hustling, had a Bible in his hand and had a bag of money. I like that boy. I'll tell you what. You know. He had a bag of money and he said, hey, he said, I want to give this money to the church to you. He said, it's not a whole lot. He said, I want to give it to you, though. Give it to this church. He said, a lady that goes here stopped at my house. It's been a few, I had to question him and find out how long. But anyway, gave him a Bible. It was on Davis Run. Did anybody in here give this guy, anybody remember giving this man a Bible? It's been, he said, a few months back on Davis Run. Now, I think they pulled in there for something else. Maybe had something to do with election or voting or something. And then somehow, I don't know how they got on the subject. Might have had her husband with her, boyfriend, somebody. Anybody do that? It's a mystery. We can't figure it out. Thought it was Wendy, but all of a sudden, she didn't fit the deal. So. But anyway, the guy, man, he was all fired up, just told me about his life and how, man, he was about ready to take his own life. And somebody stopped by, gave him a Bible that about the same time all this was going on. And man, he's fired up. Said he's going to be here next Sunday. So he recognized Sherry from school when she used to sub. He knew Brian. I think Daryl, Brandon went to school with him, I think. And so kind of knew some people and all that. He just wasn't coming today, but he said he's going to come next Sunday. He's going to be in church. He's all fired up about the Lord, man. Had his Bible in his hand, man. He was ready to go. Amen. We'll take him. Luke chapter 8, verse 26, familiar text. The Bible says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, saying, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they had fed them, saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And when they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. He that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And once again, praying that your spirit move among us, speak to our hearts, Lord. If there's anyone here lost or not sure about their salvation, Lord, we pray in today as they'll see their need of calling on you. Lord, we know nothing's accomplished apart from you, Lord. So just fill us with your spirit, those that are saved, and fill us with your presence or the awareness of your presence. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. The C's of Jesus. I was trying to come up with a title that would be kind of catchy there. But, you know, I love the Bible. One thing I like about the Bible is it's such an amazing book because of the depth and scope that the Word of God has. I've preached on this text several times, but probably not in the same direction I go today, I don't believe. But you know, it's the living Word. I mean, the Word of God, it's the living Word. And I mean, man, I mean, you just can't exhaust the Bible. You can't, you know, you can't turn over every stone. I mean, every time I go to a text or a story that's familiar, and this one's pretty familiar. And I can remember preaching this on the other side years ago when we were on that side, preaching on this text right here. But I just see something else. I keep seeing something else that I've never seen before. In the previous text, right before this text right here, and I read that and studied that a little bit before I got to this, and it's the story where Jesus was on one side of the lake, and he got in the boat with the disciples, and he said, you know, we're gonna go to the other side of the lake. I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. We're gonna go to the other side of the lake, and on the way over there, of course, it says ship in the Bible, but they weren't ships as we think of ships. They were boats, just a small boat. But it said when they got in the boat that Jesus lay, he went to sleep. And it says that a strong wind came down. And that it was so strong that it said that the ship started taking on water, or the boat started taking on water. So this isn't no just little breeze. We've got a storm going on. Water's coming in. But guess what? Jesus didn't wake up. He's still asleep. And the disciples, they got in a panic about that. They become afraid. And they woke up Jesus and they said, we perish. They woke him up and questioned him. They said, look, we perish. And then the way it's written in the Greek, that word we means it included him too. They were saying, listen, we all going to die, basically what they were saying. And of course, that tells us they didn't understand everything about Jesus yet. But it was impossible for that boat to sink while Jesus was on board. Also the fact that his word, he said, we are going to the other side of the lake. And you know, you say, well, what's that got to do with the story that we're talking about today? Well, listen, the reason they were going to the other side of the lake was because Jesus already knew that there was a demon-possessed man. Actually, there's two. Matthew's account tells us of two, and Luke and John, I think, tells us that there's just, or just mentions one. A lot of commentators say it's probably because one was more vocal than the other. But it's probably the same story. Some people think it might be different. I don't. I just think it just mentions one. Here, there was two men over there that was demon-possessed. And Jesus knew that. And he's on the way. And I believe this. I started thinking about this. I believe the storm was brought on by Satan himself. Because Satan knew that those men were, that Jesus was heading to those demon-possessed men. And he was doing everything he could, just like he did from Adam and Eve's day, to prevent Christ from getting to the people that needed to be saved. He's opposed that. He is the prince of the power of the air. I think he does have some control over what could happen on the weather. Last night, we had a big discussion about, it's a sad world we live in today. We put these little flags up outside, you can see, and they're all different colors. And so we started discussing about the fact it looked like rainbow colors. Everybody will think we went, you know, gone homosexual, but it's, you know, it's a sad state that you can't have nothing with different colors on it, just a little old thing like colors. And I told Sherry, well, we pulled up this morning, she was in a sweat about it, worrying about what somebody might think. I said, well, they'll find out real quick when they get in here that we don't go along with that. But I said, you know, I pulled up and I said, well, it doesn't really look like those rainbow colors, just leave them up, crying out loud, you can't do nothing. We left them up. And why was I saying this? they were going over there. The Satan knows that they were going. He can't stop what was about to take place. He couldn't stop them, but he opposed, you know, God coming. And Satan has the power. He has certain power over the weather. Oh, that's what I was. Now I got it. Last night we got the flags all up, and then right when we got all done doing that, this big storm came up over the back right there, and it got real dark and cloudy, and Sherry was saying, see? See, maybe God's going to blow them flags off to church. And so I said, well, this morning, we're not going to have to worry about that. Senior moment there, I couldn't think of what I was going to say. But anyway, that I don't have anything to do with that. But I believe that storm could have been brought on by, because he knew that Jesus was going to reach somebody. And that's his whole purpose. And but I want to tell you this: it can't be stopped. It can't be stopped. And I'm going to get to that. You know, in just a minute. Nothing can stop God from reaching out to men. Nothing has stopped him. Now we got a choice to make as far as responding to that. So I just got 4 points on the list, and we're going to look at this morning, and some things that I've never looked at before. A couple points in this text right here. The very first point is this, is what Jesus does. Jesus confronts sin. I mean, that's, you know, everybody talks about God is love, and he is. And everybody talks about, well, you know, God's love, and man, we pray for everybody's toenails and kidneys and livers, and that he's a healer, and he is. But I'm going to tell you what the deal is with Jesus. Man, his main deal is he's confronting sin. Our biggest problem is a sin problem. Our biggest problem isn't a hangnail. I don't care if you got cancer or whatever it is. It's not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is sin, and that we're lost and undone apart from Christ. Jesus healed people kind of on the sideline. He had compassion for them, but he came to confront sin, get the victory over it. He got the victory over sin so that we could get the victory over sin and we could be saved. And so it says this, and this is the thing that got me thinking about this a lot. Verse 27 of our text this morning, it said there, he went forth to the land. There met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time. And I got thinking about this. I rolled it over in my head a lot. Laid on the bed, kind of, you know, after I'd kind of got my notes together or my loose notes and started thinking about it. Now, this man is possessed by a legion of demons. So I thought, okay, when you're possessed by demons, listen, they're in control. They get control. So I started thinking, it says, there came this certain man. Was he coming to Jesus? Or were the demons coming? And I got to thinking all kind of scenarios. So, you know, and I did like all good pastors do. I got all the commentaries out, and I got a ton of them. Man, I got my computer. I got a CD thing on there, that one you gave me, Rudy. I got on that. Went down to that. Nobody talked about it. That's what happens when commentators don't know. They don't talk about it. So they didn't know. And then I got my books. I got all the ones behind me. I got my thing right behind me where I sit on my desk, and I pulled all my books down, and I started looking. Nobody talked about this. Maybe I'm the only oddball that thinks about it. But I thought, this guy's controlled by demons. But he came to Jesus. I mean, it's a big place. He didn't have to come to Jesus. And I thought, well, maybe, this is just speculation on my part, maybe that the demons knew that they couldn't run from God. They couldn't hide. We might as well just go right to him. I thought about that. But then I started thinking about this. In the light of the fact that I believe Satan tried to stop that boat from getting over on the other side. Of course, God's a multitasker. Taught the disciples about faith on that one while he was on the way. I started thinking about that. That this man, even though he was controlled by demons, that this man came to Jesus. Because he wanted deliverance, and them demons couldn't stop him. And this is what I think it is. This is why I think it is. It gives us this illustration right here. Listen, God came in the flesh as Jesus. He sent his son, terminology we use from the Bible, to seek and to save that which is lost. Satan tried to stop him from the beginning of time. Tempted Eve, tried to mess up the line to Christ, all the way, Herod, the babies, Christmas time, everything, the cross even. And he couldn't do it. Couldn't stop it. Therefore, Satan couldn't stop God from coming, reaching out to man. And I don't think Satan can stop any man that wants to reach out to Jesus. I don't think he can stop him. I mean, he can tempt us. He can mess with our mind. He can do everything he can. But when a man really wants to be saved, when a man really wants to be saved, listen, that there is no, Satan cannot, it is impossible for him to stop that man from getting saved if the man is willing to get saved. So, since no commentator commentated on it, I'm going to commentate on my own commentary. And my commentary is, that they couldn't stop him. This man came to Jesus, even though he was possessed by, and this takes away the excuse. Listen, for everybody, listen, there's nothing going to stop you from coming to Jesus if you won't. It's not your past. I did all these old bad things. Paul said he was chief as a sinner, so he's got you beat. And it's not your past. It's not your present. It's none of those things. Nothing is going to keep us from getting to Christ. It's not, I mean, sin's not too big. Sin's not too great. Jesus is greater than sin. Jesus is greater than our past. He's greater than our present. He's greater than the power of Satan. Nothing can stop us from getting to Christ if we want to get there. And I believe that certain man met him because that man, he was going and them demons couldn't do nothing about it. I don't think a demon, I was going to say in his right mind, he's probably not in his right mind to start with. I don't think the demons would want to get around Christ even though they knew they couldn't run from him. I think they would have went the opposite way if they had him. And so I just came to that, just that was rolling around in my head. Boy, what a great illustration that we can come to Christ. Even demon possession couldn't keep a person coming to Christ. And so then the Bible says that Jesus, they had the confrontation between him and the demons. He said they were legion. They were many. They talked to Jesus a little bit, and I'll say something about it in a minute. But it says that, you know, they didn't want to just be out into nothing. They wanted to be somewhere. And it says in verse 32, there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they, the demons, besought him that he would suffer them or allow them to enter into them. And it said, and Jesus suffered them. And when the devils and the devils went out of the man, entered into the swine, the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and they were choked. Now listen to this. I don't know what the definition of a theologian is. If somebody's studying the Word of God, I study the Word of God. I guess it's quite, but I mean, I'm not an educated man. But there's theologians actually sit around or sat around in time and discuss the fact about Jesus destroying somebody else's property. I mean, they've had discussions about, you know, not right, but they just had this discussion. They weren't saying Jesus was wrong or anything like that, but they discussed it. There's only two places in the Bible where Jesus destroyed anybody's property. It was right here with the swine, and the other was with a fig tree that he cursed. It didn't have any fruit on it. He cursed it and said the fig tree withered up. Those are the two places where Jesus kind of destroyed somebody's property. And now there's a couple of points about that. You know, one of them is that, listen, God owns everything. Now, he can do whatever he wants with it, right? I mean, that's the sovereignty of God. He owns everything. And the theologians who have a problem with that, him destroying property, have the same problem with the people that owned the swine and fed the swine is they thought more of the swine than they did the two souls that got saved when he ran the swine out. But, you know, that's another thing, the way of looking at it right there. But there's more to it than that, more to it than meets the eye. And Jesus confronted the demons, which really was a picture of sin. That's a picture of sin. But he confronted those men that fed those swine. And ultimately, he confronted whoever owned the swine. I don't think they were the owners. They just fed them. See, these animals were unclean animals. And these guys were in Jewish territory. These guys were on Jewish ground. I mean, they were part of the nation of Israel. And a Jewish man couldn't have any contact with a swine. He couldn't even worship God if he had any dealings with pigs. They don't eat. They don't eat. They don't eat pork. They don't eat barbecue. They don't eat meat. And so they were unclean animals. So in a sense, it was sin. Jesus was confronting sin in these Jewish men that were feeding swine and Jewish men that owned those swine. He confronted sin in that area too. And so therefore, he destroyed a sinful thing. He destroyed a sinful thing. And he always does that. He always confronts sin. You know, Jesus never healed anybody. I mean, sometimes it doesn't come right out and say it in the Bible, but you'll see Jesus always, the people that he healed, he dealt with their sin. Woman at the well. Remember that woman at the well? He went up and had a conversation with her. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. Well, why did he need to go through Samaria? A Jew wouldn't go through Samaria. But he said, I need to go through Samaria. Why did he need to go? Because there was going to be a woman at the well that day. He said, I'm going to go to the well. He went to the well, and then the woman said, you know, you started talking to him a little bit. And she said, and the question came up about her husband. And she said, and he told her, he said, she said, I don't have a husband. He said, you had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not one of them, not your husband. Huh? Oh, he confronted her about that sin. She got under conviction right then. I believe she listened to everything he had to say from that point on. Remember that woman taken in adultery? Huh? He asked her, where's your accusers? And they were gone. Because he said, whoever's got no sin, cast the first stone. And then he said, where's your accusers? He said, they're gone. He said, go and sin no more. That's what he said. When he confronts sin, that rich young ruler, Jesus talked with him a little bit. You know what his problem was? He had a love of money. He loved money more than he loved anything. Jesus said, well, go sell everything you have. Because what must I do to gain eternal life? Sell everything you have. Now, that's not how you get it. But Jesus was dealing with a sticking point for him. He's dealing with something in his heart. Instead, he went away sad. He always deals with sin. He always confronts sin. That's why, you know, you don't, listen, you know, people don't want sin to be dealt with. Huh? And a lot of times, listen, you know, you get discouraged. People come to different churches. I was talking to Pastor Les Ketron last night. We were talking about things. He said he had a good family. He'd been coming there about 3 years. They'd never joined, but they left the church. And he said the guy called him up and just said, well, I don't think Central's where we're going to join. So he said, you know, but he said they were faithful as they could be. And I said, look, Les, before he told me the story, I said, look, man, sometimes you're going to find out cream always rises to the top. He said, yeah. He said, well, the guy that left worked for an air conditioning company, and he went to work where John Payne works. John's his treasurer at church. And John saw him and said, hey, brother, how you doing? He said, yeah. He said, well, hey, where y'all happen to go to church? He said, well, I'll tell you the truth, brother, we're not going to church. See, it's not a problem. I said, see, Les, it's not you, brother. It's not you, it's them. It's a problem there. What happens sometimes is when people get confronted with their sin. You ever had people mad at you? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And not come back or don't want to sit under that kind of preaching. Not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to like sit under preaching when somebody, when the Word of God, it's not me anyway. It's the Word of God. And so Jesus did that. He confronted with the sin. I mean, not hateful. Didn't hate him. Didn't think less of him. Didn't he's just pointing out this is it. And so he did. He destroyed the sin that those people were involved with or in indulging in that. He saves, listen, Jesus saves us out of sin. Not this theology that's out here today where, hey, listen, I can be saved and I'm going to hold on to all my sin. I don't have to repent of anything. I'll just keep on living just like I'm with, reason being because God is love and he loves me just like I am. Listen, he does love you, but he don't want you to stay just like you are. He doesn't save us in sin. He saves us out of it. Transformation, you know, I mean, that's salvation right there. So we see that Jesus confronts sin. The second thing is that he commanded demons. He commanded demons. Look there in verse 29. It says, for he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. See right there, he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. He could have driven him anywhere he wanted, except when Jesus came, and he couldn't drive him right then. He went right to Jesus. Amen. He commanded these demons to come out. But notice this about the demons. It says, Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, verse 30, because many devils were entered into him. They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that they would suffer him to enter into swine. And I started thinking about that. Why? You know, this is the thing about the demons. And this is something else I never gave a lot of thought to before. But they didn't want to just be wandering around and doing nothing. Look, in Luke, just a couple chapters over, you look in Luke chapter 11, I'll say something real quick there, and this will be familiar to you. Luke chapter 11, this is a little text from Jesus on, you know, self-reformation. Verse 24 of 11, he said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, talking about the unclean spirit. And finding none, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth, and he's talking about that man's heart. Then he goeth, and he taketh him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered in and dwelt there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first state. You know, when that demon went out of a man, and he's not dwelling in man or beast, it said that he walked through dry places, and that he didn't have any rest. See, demons, this is what they're doing. They're looking for empty hearts to dwell in. Okay? Now, what that is an illustration of somebody that self-reformation, that means I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to quit doing this sin, that sin, get rid of this and that in my life. I'm going to get rid of it, but I don't get Jesus in my heart. You know, people can do some things by willpower, some certain things for a certain amount of time. You can do things. And what happens is, what the devil's looking for, he's looking for an empty heart. Doesn't have Jesus there. And he said he comes back and he found it swept and garnished. It was clean, but he didn't find Jesus. And he said, hey, got seven other buddies. Come on, let's move on in. And the last state was worse than the first. Because it's self-reformation of itself is not good. But demons, you know what? They cannot work evil unless they're attached to a physical body. Can be man, can be swine, can be a lower form of life. But they don't want to just be out wandering around. Just think about it. They can't get the evil done if they're not working through, and usually they work through people. Through people, they can't get it done. They got to have that. They can't have rest. They can't get in a heart that has Christ in there, which tells us about the danger of walking through life without Jesus Christ, because the demons are out there looking for that heart. The Bible says that Satan walks up to and fro in the earth seeking whom he may devour. And if he finds you, and there's so many people out there, man, he's got so many options out there. It may take a while, but if he finds you, he gets in your heart. That's where he's going. He's going to come in there, and he's well. What a danger to go through life without Christ in your life. You're just an open invitation for something else to happen as far as Satan is concerned. So Jesus commanded those demons, and they had to obey those demons, or they had to obey Jesus. The third thing is Jesus controls destinies. Look in verse 31. The demons, it says, and they, the demons, besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Now that word deep right there is the word in the Greek, it's the word for abyss. Abyss is a big hole. It only occurs 9 times in the New Testament. It occurs here, it occurs in Romans 1 time, and all the rest of the times it occurs in Revelation. And in Revelation it always refers to the bottomless pit. He said, don't command us to go out into the pit. If you look in one of the other texts, I can't remember if it's Matthew's comments on this or Matthew's story on this, but he said, before the time. He said, don't send us out into the abyss or into the pit, which is meaning the bottomless pit, before the time, which that's significant that they said it that way. The demons, listen, the demons had a faith. They had a faith, not saving faith. And what I mean by that is they believed. They believed. They knew who Jesus was. We know who thou art. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed in a future judgment. They said, don't send us into the abyss. And the other account says, before the time. We know we're going to get judged. We know that. They prayed. They believed in prayer. They beg Jesus. They're praying to Jesus. Don't send us into the swine. Don't send us into the abyss, into the bottomless pit. They pray. Listen, you're not saved because you believe that there was a Jesus. You're not saved because you believe that there's prayer or even that you pray. You're not saved by that. You're not saved because you believe everything of the Bible. I know people that know everything of the Bible and they're still not saved. And some of them will tell you that they're not saved, but they know everything about it. I remember I had a man one time, I'd ask him every now and then. I was trying to be friends with him, and somebody that knew him real well told me, he said, look, man, you got to be careful with him. You can't push on him too much. And I said, okay, I'll try to be careful. And I tried to be friendly with him in that, but, you know, I still got my responsibility to God, and I wanted to talk to him a little bit about the Lord. And I'd talk to him, you know, we'd get the right moment, felt like God was leading, and I'd always ask him, I'd ask him a couple times. I said, you know, do you know the Lord? Do you think? He said, his answer to me was this every time, I pray. He said, I pray. And I said, man, there's a man in hell that's praying today. The Bible said that rich man lifted his eye, he prayed that Jesus would send Lazarus to his brothers, or Abraham would send Lazarus to his brothers so they would avoid hell, right? He prayed. We got demons praying. There's demons praying. Man in hell praying.
Praying is not the evidence that you're saved.
Well, I pray. God may not be hearing them. If you know, I pray. I believe. I believe. I've heard people say that. I believe. Or one lady wore me out with, I'm baptized. I kept trying to tell her. She was like, man, talking to a wall. I said, you know, I'm not asking you if you're baptized. I'm asking you if you're saved, you know. I mean, it's like you got to get through there. But I've been baptized. Well, great. But are you saved? You know, I mean, I couldn't get through. She thought she was saved because she got baptized. And I, you know, I believe. I heard people say, well, I believe. Listen, man, I believe in a lot of things. I don't put faith in a lot of things. I mean, I believe a lot of what the history books say. But if they say anything anymore. But I'm not putting my faith in that. I believe in George Washington. But I'm not putting faith in George Washington. But I'm not, you know, you can believe that there was a Jesus. You can believe in prayer. You can believe there's a hell. And you can still be lost because you don't have Jesus Christ dwelling in your heart. That's the key right there. These demons had a faith, but they didn't have saving faith. That's saving faith where you put in trust. See, believing and trusting is two different things. I believe that chair right there at home, but I'm not putting faith in it unless I sit on a chair. I can just believe it all day long. I can believe a bus going to pull out here and take me to Roanoke, but I ain't going to get to Roanoke unless I get on the bus, right? I mean, that I can believe things all day long. You've got to put faith in. They had a faith. They didn't have saving faith. So Jesus confronted sin. How's your life when you think about that? Who's commanding you? Who commands you? Is it God? Satan, one of his demons? Who's commanding? Or who do you listen? Who do you listen to? You know, man, I mean, there's... Listen, everybody in Botetourt County, I don't know why we even go out and witness to anybody in Botetourt. Everybody around here is saved. Ask them. Everybody. I can't find a lost man. I'm just fine. I'm just dying to ask somebody, hey, are you saved? And they say, no, I'm lost as I can be. Great, man. I want to talk to you. Because everybody, yeah, man, I'm saved. I'm saved. When was the last time you church? About 25 years ago. When was the last time you read a Bible? I don't even have a Bible. When's the last, you know, or living your life, not living your life. And I'm not, I know we're not saved by works. We talked about this in Sunday school. I know we're not saved by works. But I'm going to tell you what, you get saved and the Holy Ghost of God dwelling in you, going to be some things changing in your life unless you was just so close to perfect right before you got saved. Something's going to change, right? I mean, something got brand new. Huh? Listen, man, I mean, there was a whole lot of things got brand new in my life when I got saved. Yeah, something's going to change. And so, that's the evidence of your salvation, not those other things. The demons controlled these men before Jesus cast them swine. You know what it said? It said they was fully clothed. Isn't that odd? You know, the farther away you get from Jesus, the less clothes you put on. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more you put on. Huh? Everybody run around half naked. I'll never forget. There was an evangelist, Paul Turner was his name. He used to be out of Roanoke. And he said he was preaching at a church up where I got saved at one time. He said, man, I saw this girl, she had on these clothes, said there wasn't enough clothes in there, you couldn't wad a shotgun. He said, you could put everything she had on in the palm of your hand and close your fist around, and you couldn't see nothing. He said everything she had. These guys was naked. They got right with Jesus. Guess what? They had their clothes on, they were sitting at his feet, and they was in their right mind. If you don't have Christ, you're out of your mind. Out of your mind to not have Christ. That's another point. And then the fourth thing is Jesus convicts sinners. He convicts sinners. The men who fed the swine, it says down at the bottom there, in verse 34, it looks like, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see, and that's probably those in the city, they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. There it is. And they were afraid. I'd have been more afraid of going out there around them guys before they got saved. Man, they was full of legion of demons crying out loud and running around the tomb. Said no man could bind them with chains or anything. They wasn't afraid then. Now the guy's sitting there in the right mind and they were afraid of them. What were they afraid of? I'm going to tell you about here in just a second. But people came out to see what happened. And what did they see? They saw two men transformed. Their lives were transformed. It was completely different. It was 180 degree out. You know, that does make people afraid sometimes. If you ever really get saved, when you got saved and your life changed, did you ever have anybody that was like, well, I don't know what happened to them? Huh? They just Jesus freaks now. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Huh? Don't take that offensive. Huh? I'll take it. Been called worse. A lot worse. Huh? What? I ain't going over there, man. They just different. They're afraid of it. Yeah, now I'm not lying to you. Now I'm not stealing from you. Now I'm not selling you a bunch of dope. It's going to mess your mind all up. Now I'm not, running around stealing all your goods and all them things. I'm doing none of that. Now you're afraid of me. Oh, my gosh, man. But that's what happens. People get afraid, man. You get changed by Christ, and you're transformed. They can't. We're always afraid of something we can't explain. But now it says, and they were afraid. In other words, let me read to you verse 36. It said they which saw it told them. They also which saw it told them by what means he was he that was possessed of the devils was healed. In other words, they said, we want to tell you what happened. What happened, how they got healed was they told them demons to go into them swine. See, the emphasis has changed right here from the demon-possessed man to the swine. They also told them, it said, by what means. In other words, you know what? This is what the cost of these men being healed was. All them swine died. Not that Jesus couldn't have done it another way and all that. There's emphasis got switched over to the swine all of a sudden. It costs something for the price of somebody else's soul. And to them, it wasn't worth it. It just wasn't worth it. They got, and the reason I know is they got mad about that. And it's that way with a lot of other Christians. Listen, Christian people, I'm talking about people in churches. You know what? It's not worth it to witness. To get out of your comfort zone. You don't want to risk being uncomfortable for somebody else's soul. It's not worth it to use your time because it's too precious to you for a soul. It's not worth it for you to use your talent to glorify God and to encourage the believers because that may entail time and or finances as well to do those things. Sometimes it's just not worth it. It wasn't worth it to them. In verse 37, look what it says in 37. It says, then the whole multitude, all these people that ran there to see what happened. It was a great thing that happened. The whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him, talking about Jesus, to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. That's what it said. They were taken with great fear. The whole multitude. Listen, the swine didn't belong to all of them people. The swine probably just belonged to one owner, one or two owners, and they had some guys that feed it. It didn't belong to everybody. What were they afraid of? Well, I'll tell you what they were afraid of. Jesus showed up, and the man that was possessed with demons, he confronted that deal, and he cast them demons out. And then he looked over at them swine that the Jews wasn't supposed to have, and he killed off two birds with one stone. He took the demons out of there and he sent them into the pigs and they went and committed suicide and ran over the thing into the sea and died, right? He kind of killed off two bunts, took care of the swine, the sin problem. Hey, listen, man, sometimes you know what? Sometimes we're not strong enough to get rid of the sin in our own life. God got to get rid of it for us. And that can be a dangerous thing depending on who and what it is, huh? Listen, sometimes you can't get over. I can't get to victory. I remember when I lived up in Northern Virginia, man, the way my life was, I had some bad habits and things, and I was trying to get to victory over drugs and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to tell you what happened in my life. And my neighbors, man, I'd get home. I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to try to live for God, man. My neighbors would be over there, hey, come on over, man. We're going to come on, man. And, man, it was like somebody hooking my nose, man. And well, God just moved me the whole way out of there. I couldn't quit. He said, I'll fix it. You going, just got my house built like we wanted it, added on and everything, just fixed up everything like we want. That, we're moving you down here. Here I am. God just moved, take the problem, man. He can take the swine or he can take you. He can do whatever he's going to do, right? And that's what he does. And so he killed off the swine. So what are these people afraid of? Well, they saw what happened with the demons. They saw what happened with the swine. And they said, good night.
If he comes to my house, if he comes to my city, what's going to change? What's going to have to take place? If he comes into my house, what's going to be going out of here? If he gets into my heart, what's going to happen? That's what freaks everybody out. They're so afraid that Jesus is going to change. It's always going to be for the good, but Satan's over there telling you it's going to be for the bad. You're going to have to give up. Yes, picking up the cross is a two-handed job. Take up your cross daily and follow me. It's a two-handed job. You can't hold on to the world. You can't hold on to your sin. You can't hold on to all that and grab the cross and go dragging that down the road. No, you got to let some things go to get that. You ever try, how many of you made a mess trying to carry 15 things in the house and going in with the groceries and there goes a big old jar of honey that you're trying to get, right, Danielle, right in the floor. You ever try to get honey off a cold garage floor? Man, it's a job, buddy, glass all in it and everything because trying to carry too many things at one time, right? And you can't do it. And that's what they're afraid of. They're scared to death. They're afraid that it's going to change them. What's it going to cost me? You know? Well, some people are thinking people, and hey, yeah, you know what? Repentance is involved in your faith with your salvation. You're not saved by works, but repentance is involved in it. And guess what? Look what it says in verse 37. And after that, I stopped at great fear, and he went. He went. Listen, Jesus don't force himself on you. You know that woman when he said, I must needs go through Samaria, and he went and confronted that Samaritan woman, you know where he was going? To the cross, honey. He was going to the cross, and guess what? He wasn't going to come back to that woman 15 times. Come on, honey, you need to get saved. Come on, you know, you just need to get saved. I'm going to keep dealing with you. No. He dealt with her one time. He was going to the cross. He wasn't coming back. You know what? And you don't know. You don't know. Man, I was blessed, brother. I'm tell you what, that church, they came and visited me 3 times in a row before I got there. The third Thursday night, Sherry had wrote a note and stuck it on the refrigerator door, and she said, I believe these people have a burden for your soul. And, buddy, they came on Thursday night, and the preacher asked me a simple question. He said, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and come into your life? I said, no, I've never done that. I believe. I pray. But he said, do you ever do that? And I said, no. I said, man, he showed me what the Bible said, and I got saved that way. And so that's what happened. You know, and I could say, listen, Jesus doesn't force himself on you, though. He's not going to keep pounding. Jesus left. Here he was, right in their midst. He's mighty to save. He was willing to deliver. He was willing. Jesus is not willing that any should perish. Anybody can get saved, and the devil can't stop it. And if you don't get saved, it's your fault. If you don't get saved, that's it. And don't deceive yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Don't tell, I'm pretty good. No, you're not. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. It says your righteousness as a filthy rag. Look that up for you one time. You'll see how bad that is. It's not good. Your righteousness, that means your goodness, the goodness you have that's in you apart from Christ is as a filthy rag. We don't have it. We don't have any goodness. They said to him, they said, no. You know what they were saying? They're saying, I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. Depart. We don't want to change. I give you this last illustration in closing. It's been over 20 years ago, right around here. I think Stanley was with me. Stanley's not feeling good this morning. I think Stanley was there, though, but went out on visitation. I was dealing with somebody. And, man, you know, you could just feel, I mean, the Holy Spirit was working in me. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was working in this person. And I was giving them, you know, Genesis to Revelation, trying to get them, you know, get it simple enough, plain enough to get them saved. And I could really feel the Holy Spirit moving. I don't even know where the words were coming from. I was just saying what God led me to say. And this person said, I'm not ready. And man, I could just instantly feel the Holy Spirit say to me that that's enough. You know, he didn't leave me, but the Spirit wasn't on me like it had been, and I knew it was
It was time. I've said all I could say. And that person still lives in the area, and it's been over 20 years, and to my knowledge, they still have never gotten ready. They still not saved. What was the problem? Same thing. Afraid of the change. Afraid of repentance. Whatever. Loving her sin more than loving God. What? And still not saved. All and every day you could drop off into eternity. Every single day. Accident, traffic, this and that. Anything could happen. What? And I'm not ready. Listen, Jesus, he confronts sin. He controls destinies. There's nothing, nobody can keep you from being saved but yourself. You know, you're the only one. You make the decision. You know, God speaks to your heart today. We're going to have an invitation here. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Paul's going to get ready to come. And I want you to think about this, and I've said this from time to time. I believe if a person standing in a church service where the gospel's been preached, and you know, and I know that Satan can put doubts in our mind. Satan never puts a doubt in your mind about your salvation to get you saved. Satan would be more apt to lie to you and tell you, oh yeah, don't worry about it, you're saved. You're not perfect, but you're saved, don't worry about it. Go down to an altar and get saved. That's a lie he'll put. If there's any uncomfortableness in your heart and soul about your salvation, it's in here, it's coming from God. And if there's any of that in your heart, that's God speaking to you to get saved today. It doesn't matter if you've been saved, been baptized. I don't care if you've been baptized five times. What matters is that you get things right today. So if that's your state and you need to be saved, come forward. That's why Jesus came. He came to save you. And we'll pray to that end. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message this morning. Praying, Lord, that as these come down to the altar today, if there's any here that's lost, I pray that today they'll see their need and not listen to the devil, telling them that everything's okay. I pray that you reveal to them whether their salvation is real or not. Lord, and if there's anyone within the sound of my voice, and maybe somebody watching on Facebook that says, you know what, I'm not saved. I've never trusted the Lord like I should, and I just went through the motions, Lord, but it's not a reality in my life. I pray today will be the day they get saved before it is eternally too late. Ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul will lead us in a song for you to come down to the altar. The altar's open for you.
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 3. Jesus paid it all.
Number 3. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper. Paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.